Okay.
Semi high end company was called REW.
Oh. REW Audio Visual. I bought some stuff, some quads from you.
Do you?
I did, what, many years ago.
Well, no, they sold out in the end, but it was a terrific company. And Irwin used to come in.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And he used to buy. I was a, you know, esoteric dealer.
Really? Okay, go ahead.
And he used to buy stuff that he was undoubtedly ripping to pieces. Yeah. And to see how it was made. And we made a good friendship. And I suppose, I'm 75 years of age, so the memory does go.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure my recorder is working first. There we go. All right, we're recorded now.
Okay, but it's okay. And he asked me to join the company he's starting as a sales manager.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about REW for a minute. I always loved the. I would go to your store. It was at the end of Tottenham Court Road there.
Well, it was in Charing Cross Road next to Tin Pan Alley.
Yes, yes.
Denmark Street. So needless to say, we saw all the rock stars come in and the John Lennons of this world.
Wow.
I spent most of my life, I suppose, in retail supplying the big boys.
Really?
The Yul Brynners of this world. There's so many, I could probably write a book, but my memory doesn't remember them all. And I joined him, and he bought Bruton Place. He did have a backer as well.
He did? Well, I didn't know that.
No, I'm not saying the name, because we were surrounded by very prominent people that I knew and Irwin knew as well.
Right.
And if the names have never popped up on any of your blogs, maybe these people don't want it. I mean, I can phone them and certainly find out. I spoke to Lucy yesterday.
You did?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, Lucy lives near me. And David Lyth I saw last year.
Wow.
Well, we keep in touch, and the accountant, actually.
Really?
Yeah, David's still making very, very good drive units. His company is Volt. He's moved down in Dorset. He's moved his factory.
Wow.
Which is a beautiful county.
Oh, yeah. We when I was working on what's now Disneyland Paris, I was in lived in Kent for a couple of years.
In where?
New Ash Green, Kent. It's near,
well,
near Ash.
It's near my sister, and I go down to see my sister now and again.
Oh, excellent.
Well, so I joined IRA. All the things were coming together, the people who made the crossovers, the cabinets, and IRA was full of energy. He never stopped, to be quite honest. And the factory, he employed David Lyth to look after everything and get it all going. And I just got on the road with my samples, opening up the accounts over the United Kingdom.
I see, all right.
And it worked very, very well. You know, the dealers knew me.
What was
I was only a sales manager at the time, but it's a very small industry in England, the specialized market.
What was the initial reaction to the GS401A?
Well, the biggest problem was the amplification to drive it.
Sure.
Well, in all honesty, I mean, the big American kit hadn't come over. You had most people, their dream was to own a quad amplifier. And under normal home conditions, it would drive just about the 401s, the Quad 100E. I was Quad's national sales manager for 7 years.
Were you? Oh, excellent.
Yeah, well, as I was coming up to my retirement.
Well, I've been a big...
It's okay. People enjoyed the speaker. everything was booming in those days.
And you started with Gale in roughly 1973,
so... No, I've lost track of dates, to be quite honest. Yeah, it was early 1970s.
Okay. Well, must have been very exciting.
Oh, magnificent. Well, it's exciting when you've got not only an unusual product, a very, very good product, which does help.
I imagine it does.
One that sounds extremely good. I haven't read all the notes on your line. I noticed something about the poster. We had to change the poster. I was doing a show that I think it was our first show at, and I think it was Earl's Court. I mean, I'm going back an awful long time, and I was getting complaints about the naked woman from the public.
I see.
So we had to cover her up. Yeah, well, that was Ira's side. I mean, he was extremely good, and it was a terrific show. It was our first show, and he had an artist show her paintings at the show. I mean, he was really way out, this guy. No one would ever think of having an art show at the same time as you're having a hi-fi show. Absolute crazy. Such good days. And, of course, when you're selling, you're happy.
Right.
You know, and everybody was happy. David was a terrific man to run the factory. Very competent. And that went on, I don't know, I lose track of how many years, that the UK was building very, very well. The retailers were happy.
In other words, there was an amazing amount of equipment that was coming out of the UK at that time.
Yes. I lose track of nearly all the names, but things like Krell wasn't available. Audio Research was. It was extremely good. Lucy joined the company. I spent very little time. I was, as you can imagine, on the road, as they say.
Sure.
It's just non-stop when you're trying to launch something. And people look forward to seeing you with your product, which is nice. You know, I was in retail for quite a lot of time, and sometimes you used to get a phone call, I'd like to show you my gear, and you think, oh dear, but I'd better give them the time. The door was open all the time. Our shows were good. And Ira was just, well, it's hard to say. He never stopped.
Very energetic, right?
He kept jumping from one thing to another. I didn't have to keep up with him. I'd set what I had to do. But then the factory, and then do it yourself. You know, I want to make it all in-house. And that's not easy. He run a 20-hour day.
Mm. Amazing.
But, you know, I have great memories of Ira. We were good friends. I don't know the life of Ira, to be quite honest. Every year at Christmas Day, I used to get a phone call from America. So he evidently moved. He went out of business.
Yes.
You know more than me.
Yeah. The business, Ira's role in the business, shut down in the early '80s, and then
Donald Wong took over.
And he moved between Boston, where his brother was going to school, and New York.
Right. I mean, I opened up the military in the UK.
That's interesting. I'd like to hear more about that.
In the Soundstores, not the PX.
Understood.
On the bases. And there was three I used to call on, Mildon Hall, I think it was, Upper Hayford. And there was another one, and the products were on the military. And I used to, with the military, when you're selling, you never sell anything unless you're there selling it. I'm sure you probably know more about that than I do. It's a cutthroat business, selling to the military.
Absolutely.
Berlin, and get my orders, and they used to allocate me a certain amount of speakers per store.
Excuse me.
And we'll have to supply the military at a good price, naturally.
Oh.
And on one of the camps I met, I won't give you his name because I'm waiting to speak to him. He was a colonel. He was a big boy. And he was a hi-fi nut, and I mean, for the last 30 years, he'd been coming to my house every year. Regrettably, last year was the last time he could make it because he's well over 80 and they won't allow you to drive in England.
Oh, jeez.
Well, they won't allow you to hire a car.
So, Ray, may I ask you a question? I'm particularly interested in how the various parts of the world became introduced to Yale. Obviously, Australia, New Zealand, and Singapore are very active.
I had nothing to do with that. I wasn't there then.
I see. Okay.
Well, when that opened, Japan, I started, which was fortunate because the government was running a special trip for manufacturers, so it didn't work out too expensive to put on a show in Japan, and we had an agent out there. Which was interesting. We sold to Nigeria, but the importer used to come here. He evidently used to hire a plane, a big one, and load up with Quad and I think it was Kef and a few other men and us. He was out of Lagos. He used to sell a lot of products. And he died, he fell off his horse. I can't imagine a horse in Lagos, but he was quite a character in the Philomo Shopping Centre in Lagos.
Amazing.
And then I got three camps in Germany.
Yes, there's still quite a German contingent in the Gale group.
Yeah, I think it was Mildenhall. It was Kaiserslautern, Wiesbaden, and a place called Firth. And we've done a little bit of business there. You can't expect to do much because the big boys can make life hard for you, the big manufacturers who have full-time representatives travelling the bases all day and, you know, non-stop. All I could do was fly over once or twice a month. It would be too costly to sell such a little amount of product.
I did not realize there even was a military sales aspect to it. That's fascinating.
The hi-fi side is massive in America on the military. Well, it was then.
Amazing. Now, did you have any involvement in the products of the turntable and the different versions of the speakers?
Well, I saw the first turntables. In fact, I had one, which was belt-driven.
Belt-driven? Interesting.
Yeah.
Not direct drive.
No, but it was there for design more than anything else. And then in Ira's way, he says, right, this is going to be beautiful, and he wants this. He knew what he wanted, but he couldn't do it without the top people, probably in the bloody world, to work it out for him, David Carter Associates.
Right.
They're tremendous people. That's where Nigel was. No, I wasn't involved, although my friend from America was involved with Ira. When Ira used to travel America, he used to call Gene, who had retired from the military by then.
Really?
Gene lives in Benissa.
Oh, in California?
Well, yeah.
All right, I'd love to speak with him sometime if he's interested.
Yeah. Well, he was like you, the times are all wrong. But I will be in contact with him over the next few days just to see how he is.
Well, good.
He's keeping his health okay.
Well, hopefully.
And he used to travel with Ira.
He did.
Ira, they were very good friends. I introduced them. And once again, Ira knew that this guy is a straight person. He wasn't employing him. He wanted straight people who can do the job and leave them to it, as he did with me. You know, I feel very proud on what I'd done for Gail.
Excellent.
And I just don't know. I've spoken to Lucy. I speak to Lucy quite often. But we've never... We talk about families now.
Oh, sure.
But... And my sister was involved as well. I went on his knees to employ my sister, but she wouldn't go with it. She wouldn't join the company. But I started... When I left Ira, I also started probably the biggest retail store in Britain, in Tottenham Court Road.
Right.
And it was called Hi-Fi Experience.
I remember it. I was one of the customers.
Yeah. Well, I started Hi-Fi Experience.
I didn't. Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, I've been around, I'm afraid. And I seem to have a 7-year itch. Don't ask me why. And I started it up and running. We had 9 demonstration rooms, and it worked out well because I didn't sell them to the manufacturers, but all the manufacturers I wanted to deal with, I offered them space, you know, their own demonstration room, which was quite a good idea. My sister worked for me then as a secretary, and she got to know the business, and I sold out to my other partners, and my sister stayed on to run it. I asked her, you know, she knows the business inside out. And Ira used to go in there every week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He used to go in every week to see her, take in some donuts and have a chat with her. Yeah. Because she was selling the product.
So I really would like to hear if you have a humorous anecdote about Ira. Of anything that might have been particularly funny. Sounds like it was quite a character.
Yeah, well, I do, but there's other people's names involved, and they're very prominent people.
Okay.
And I can't without speaking to them. I mean, I've noticed that you know, with Ray Cooper, I know Ray very well. He was a good friend of Ira's. But Ira knew Elton. He knew most of the top people, and also some very prominent people in Britain.
Well, sure. No, I don't want you to violate any confidences.
No, I wouldn't do that. I mean, it's they may not want their names mentioned, and they would only be mentioned in good good way, all the same. He never got up to 2. He got up to some antics, but I can't even remember them. At one show, he had a cordon bleu chef cooking.
Really?
On the stand. And they were in the office, you know, when you build a stand, you have an office area. And we was inviting the retailers for a quick snack. No one in their right mind would even think of doing that. And it was terrific. And they're things that you remember very well.
That's a good idea.
Okay,
amazing stuff. Well, thank you very much. I this is a great honor, and I will put something together.
I'm just a human being who had fun.
I understand, and a lot of people are interested in your experiences. You know,
it's a shame, but most of them can't go into it. Can't be published.
Well, that's okay, too. You know.
I'm alive, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ray, and I hope we can become friends and send stuff back and forth in the future.